Well, we are in our PN series, The King and His Kingdom, from the Gospel of Matthew. If you've been here for a while, you know we're working through the section on mission and discipleship in chapters 8 to 10. And Matthew focuses on discipleship as a whole in his gospel. And in this section, Matthew seeks to connect the teaching Jesus gave in his Sermon on the Mount by showing us these great miracles of Jesus Christ. And Jesus works 9 miracles in these chapters, 3 sets of 3 in these chapters 8 to 9. And we're in that last bit of it today as we look at the healing of the 2 blind men that we read about and the deliverance of a demon-possessed mute man. And Matthew has shown us over and over how Jesus has full power over disease and demons and the power to forgive sin. And Jesus revealed last week his power over the curse of sin, which is death, by raising Jairus' dead daughter after healing the blood flow of a woman that had struggled with that for 12 years. We saw that last week. Now, context, remember, in context, Jesus is ministering here in Matthew around the hub of his ministry in Capernaum. He'd only traveled by boat, we saw earlier in chapter 8, to the sea, over the Sea of Galilee, to the Gentile country, where he delivered a man from demons and the pigs went off the cliff. And then he brought the disciples back to Capernaum with the boat, and he healed and forgave. Remember that forgave the paralytic that was brought by the 4 friends who put the hole in the roof. And then he called Matthew to be his disciple. We saw that and learned about discipleship. And Jesus met with the friends of Matthew, these terrible tax collectors, these worst of society, as the ultimate doctor. He said, "I've come for the sick." And he gave that teaching, and he was criticized, of course, as we're seeing that build up by the religious, by the Pharisees. And Jesus, Matthew is showing us, in all of this, is teaching his disciples as they followed him, as they watched him. And we learn as disciples today, don't we, about what it really means to follow him by faith, true faith in Jesus. And at the heart of this, of course, is knowing who Jesus is and trusting in him alone. Walking by faith continually in his power, his grace, to heal not only physical illness, but most of all, the greatest sickness we have, all of us, of all, and that's sin, and the results of that being death. And these miracles of physical healing are meant, we've seen, to teach us about who we are as sick sinners in need of his grace, desperately in need of his mercy. And we're meant to see, as we saw last week, ourselves as desperate spiritually. We've seen it all through this, like the leper, or the paralytic who can't walk, or the sick woman who can't stop bleeding. We're as dead spiritually as that daughter of Jairus who could do nothing to revive herself. And we're meant to see ourselves like these blind men today, who could not see physically. Except by God's grace, that's the way we are spiritually. But it's interesting that, notice, this last miracle in this section ends not with those who are physically blind. Did you notice that? These 2 men is not where it ends before Jesus talks about mission. No, it ends with men, the religious Pharisees, who are perfectly able to see physically with their physical eyes, but who are totally blind spiritually. Jesus wants us to see that being his disciple is about following him by faith. It's not something we do most of all with our physical eyes, though yes, I don't want you to go around with a blindfold on, you know, trying to follow Jesus. It's interesting, though, that these Pharisees are the ones who really cannot see spiritually. And even once the physical eyes of these 2 blind men today are opened up, you note, and we'll look at this later, they're struggling to see spiritually when their physical eyes are open, wanting to do things their own way instead of trusting in Jesus and his word. Jesus wants us to see that following him is a continual, day by day, moment by moment, walk of faith in him as we rest in his grace regularly, continually, and in his power to forgive us, to heal us, to change us, and restore our sight spiritually so that we're able to live for the Lord more and more His way and truly follow Him and go in the way that He is leading, which is what being a disciple is all about. Jesus wants us to see that this faith is needed by each of us so that we experience more and more His mercies, His grace, and that we know God's will and we follow in His will, not our own, so that we're able to see others more and more through the eyes of God and Jesus' mercy, to see them as God sees them, to see them with eyes of compassion and mercy in order to reach them. And see, this has been the whole point of Jesus, if you remember a little while back, cautioning those who wanted to follow Him back in chapter 8, to want to be disciples. And this is the whole point of Jesus reaching out to lost sinners and telling them and us He came for the sick, not the healthy. Why? Because we're all sick with sin except by His mercy and grace. And to follow Him, we must continue to depend on His mercy or we'll be blind. There's no way we can live for Him as a disciple and follow without depending on that mercy for us to be able to see, so that we walk by, not by sight, but by faith, as Paul said. And this is why Jesus called us, remember a few weeks ago, to put new wine, the new wine of His gospel love, in the new wineskins, what He calls, shows us, and not the old wineskins of rituals and rules and religion. Jesus only saved those, we've seen this, who are like children who surrender all to Him and trust in His power to save them wholeheartedly and continue to look to Him. And this is why we saw Jesus ministering mercy last Sunday to the desperate. Was two people we looked at, Jairus' dead daughter and the woman with the blood flow. And He modeled for us what that means, to minister that mercy so we can follow Him, so we can continue to grow, experiencing His grace by faith continually, and then expressing that mercies as He uses us in mission to those around us. And that is why we have these two miracles, I believe, to end this section on mission and discipleship in verses 27 to 34. And we read up to 35, but someone said Jesus went on from there, and Matthew describes these miracles that round out His account of Jesus' mighty deeds. Matthew ends this with a summary of the first phase of Jesus' ministry. And we see it in verse 35 there. Jesus was teaching and preaching and performing miracles that demonstrated to Israel the kingdom and the King had come. But the point is, this section, the healing of the two blind men, the deliverance of this mute, demon-possessed man, and then the religious people's response, they have a great significance as this section comes to an end. See, Jesus is about, we'll see in a few weeks, about to look at the people out on the crowds, right? And see them lost without a shepherd, right? And He has compassion on them. And then He calls the Father to raise workers because the harvest of souls is great. And He's going to call His disciples as a whole and teach them principles about mission. But before they get to that, and we need this, they need clarity. They need to make sure that they're seeing right. So we see the healing of these blind men here at the end is very key. The Old Testament, you know, never recorded the healings of the blind. But Isaiah and many others prophesied that when the Messiah came, this would be part of the sign. He was there. He was here. Jesus had come. He would give sight to the blind. We read one of those in Isaiah 35. But Jesus, as with all His miracles we're seeing, and we know this if you've been a Christian long enough, they all were there, the physical miracles, to teach something deeper, the greater need spiritually. Spiritual healing is needed even more than physical healing. And spiritual seeing is needed even more than physical seeing. As important we know that is, that's more important is spiritual seeing. So all through this section, Jesus is seeking, remember, to deepen the faith of true disciples as those who walk in His power. And so these are some of the last ones here in this section before He lays down the gauntlet of mission. And He calls the people to mission, the disciples and us. So as Jesus leaves, in context here, Jairus' home, remember last week, after raising his dead daughter and healing the woman with the blood flow before that, on the way, these two blind men are following him. And they're crying out for Jesus to restore their sight. So I want us to think the question today is, what do we learn about growing in spiritual sight and spiritual vision as we walk by faith, as we grow as his disciples? What do we learn about who Jesus is and what it means to really follow him? And what matters about how we see things and what we see and how we see others? And most of all, how we see God and how we see ourselves. What do we learn about how Jesus loves us and leads us and changes us so that he can use us in ministry? He can use us in mission. Unfortunately, the people in this story, as one man pointed out, are a little bit more like when, you know, you point a finger at a dog, you know, and you go say, go this direction, and the dog wags its tail and kind of knows, okay, yeah, go that way, but only understands very little about what that really means. But Jesus is patient. He keeps working with us. He keeps building up our faith. He keeps leading us and opening up our spiritual eyes by his grace. And he keeps working with us so that we can follow him. Even though certainly we're slow at times, it's imperfect, but he came as the light of the world so that, as he said in John 8, anyone who follows him will not walk in darkness. But this is a process. And we look to the one who fulfills the hopes of God's people. So as we grow to experience his mercy more and more, we'll grow to show that mercy in that process. What do we see here? Well, look at verses 27 to 38. And this is a major point that we look at today with a few others. But in that, to affirm the truth of salvation by grace through faith. We've got to affirm the truth of salvation by grace through faith. And we've got to reflect on that regularly. We've got to reaffirm that for ourselves and for others. The first step I think we see here in application, Jesus shows us that how he leads us in following him by faith, increasing our spiritual vision as we follow him. We see it in what these two blind men say, first of all, about who Jesus really is. And what they need for him, from him. And how Jesus responds to them. See, the first step we see in following by faith involves the affirmation of our faith and continual reaffirmation of our faith. You see, to truly grow in Christ, to see as Jesus saves us to see spiritually, we have to continually affirm and reaffirm the truth of his salvation, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, and we have to do that over and over. We have to remember that. We have to reflect on that. And the point is, our faith, first of all, is not a wishy-washy, generic faith like the world talks about. Faith in faith, belief in belief. You know, that recent, latest installment of the Indiana Jones movies, I guess it was out, I haven't seen it, but I saw the ad one time, and Harrison Ford's character, Indiana Jones, is saying in this clip or whatever, what matters is not what you believe, I think he said, but how much you believe it. Baloney. But that's the sentiment of our day, world today, isn't it? Just believe. Just be sincere. It doesn't matter what, just you believe it a lot. But no, Jesus here clearly seeks to reaffirm and reassure the disciples as well as these blind men as to what real faith is all about. As this section comes to a close and these last teaching before he gives the teaching on mission, these two blind men come in, we see, following after Jesus. They're calling out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. Restore our sight, is what they're saying. And Jesus leaves Jairus' home, we said, probably exhausted, I'm sure, too, from all that has happened. But he still has lessons of faith. He's going to teach these men and teach the disciples and teach us today. Doriani said, the story begins with Jesus traveling down a road, and these two men learn Jesus is walking their way, and they begin to follow Jesus. So they're calling out, first of all, just to state the obvious here, but it indicates that they at least believe a couple of things about Jesus, don't they? He is merciful. And he is, number two, the Son of God. So regardless of just how much they knew or believed about Jesus, we can definitely at least say that. But what do we learn here that builds and increases our spiritual vision and sight as we follow by faith as disciples? Number one, Jesus calls us to seek after him. Hungering in humility is at the heart of following Jesus by faith. Are you seeking after him? The fact is, these blind men do understand at least some of who Jesus is, and they believe in him. Now, some scholars, you know, read about this, there's different ideas about it. Some believe that him saying this, calling him the Son of David, meant they truly believed everything about him. And some people think, well, they just came for the healing physically. I think it's probably somewhere in between. I imagine it was a combination based on what they knew of the Old Testament and the prophecies about the Messiah who would heal the blind, and what they had heard about what Jesus was doing. And they can't see Jesus, but they hear he's around. They're starting to walk by faith, and they call out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." It's interesting, for the first time in Matthew, except for what Matthew said in the genealogy in chapter 1, we see someone calling him the Son of David. And for the first time in Matthew, when asked for something, here we see Jesus just keeps on walking. What gives? Is Jesus testing them, these men? Or maybe he's concerned that what they call him, the Son of David, and again, they're actually saying what Matthew has said in chapter 1 for the first time. He's that promised Son of David through the line of David. But maybe Jesus, we don't know for sure, is afraid this will stir the crowd, you know? Partly Jesus, I'm sure, is exhausted at this time. Maybe people will be focused too much on the miracles of Jesus and not the message of Jesus. I think that's probably more at the heart of why Jesus takes them away and goes into the home. It's interesting, Jesus never does his miracles to create a show like you hear people today when they want to work miracles. Jesus didn't do that. But whatever the reason, Jesus goes into this house and they go in right after him. We note that there. And Jesus, as one man said, tests their faith. They called Jesus the Son of David, the promised Messiah, who would heal the blind as a sign of his coming. But the question was, did they really recognize what they were saying? So Jesus tests their faith, that they'll reaffirm their faith. And more importantly, not just did they see him as a... Jesus, I think, wants to know, did you just see me as a political leader that everybody gets caught up in? Or the one who actually, who will just heal your vision physically? Or do you really believe I'm the Son of David? Do you really believe in me? Do you really believe I have the power, Jesus says to them, to do this? In other words, do they believe fully? Do you believe not halfway? Do you believe, well, I'll give this a shot? But do you really believe in me? As one man puts it, like Jairus. You know, we saw that with his dead daughter and the bleeding woman and what they did. That woman pushing through the crowds. Like the four friends that broke the hole through the roof to get their friend to Jesus. The question is, are these men really seeking Jesus? It seems they are, that they're following after Jesus. But, I mean, can you picture this? The Pharisees, who can see him fine with physical eyes, can't see him spiritually. They are fighting against Jesus tooth and nail. They are staying from him. They are attacking him. They are questioning him, accusing him of doing the work of the devil we see today. And these two blind men, they're struggling along, unable to see physically where they're going, and they're looking for Jesus. They have a hungering humility that's a model of faith. They want to get into his presence. They, like others, are trusting Jesus before he does the miracle. But Jesus still tests them. To make a point, I think, for them, but also for the disciples that are watching, he wants faith in who he is reaffirmed. Who do they believe he is? Yes, Lord, they say. It is. Let it be. We believe in you. And often we'll find an application with our lives today, even as Christians, as we follow him, the Lord will often do this. He will cause us to pause as we follow him, to stop along the path as we seek him. Often through his word, most of all, and through sermons and through the gospel and through other Christians. And it's the Holy Spirit will help us to see and ask the question, do you believe? He'll have us wait on him at times to test our faith. But remember always that he does this to increase our spiritual vision by faith of him, to build our assurance and faith in him, to reassure us when he asks that question and stops and makes us wait, that he is with us, that his power is all sufficient on the road of discipleship. See, the Holy Spirit will convict us sometimes. Do you believe? Do you believe I'm able to do this? That I'm able to take care of this problem, this situation, this child, this marriage? That I'm able to heal that relationship? I'm able to help you overcome your sin and change. Why are you following me? What does it mean for you to be my disciple? Do you believe in me? That I am who I said I am? That there's nothing too big for me to handle? Second thing here is Jesus tests our faith to stabilize our walk in him. Jesus tests our faith often to stabilize our walk with him. As we seek him, he tests, and he does it to stabilize our walk. And this is the second lesson I think we learn here about how Jesus affirms our faith as we reaffirm it over and over, as we follow him, and through that increases our spiritual vision, and it builds on the first one. So Jesus wants to reaffirm the faith of these blind men, but also his disciples in him, in his power. And so this section is coming to a close. These two men come for healing, and Jesus tests their faith as they come to him. They follow seeking after Jesus. We see that. Crying out for mercy. Jesus, Son of David. But Jesus makes them wait. Why? Well, it was for their benefit, but it was also for the benefit of the disciples that were watching. It's for our benefit as well. I want you to notice something here, that Jesus never criticizes the two blind men for what they call him, the Son of David. And he never criticizes them for what they ask him for, mercy. No, Jesus simply has them follow, almost, again, that picture is graphic, I think, of the two blind men struggling to seek after Jesus and follow him for healing while the Pharisees can't see. And Jesus has them follow, and Jesus then asks them when they go into the home, do you believe I am able to do this? In other words, do you really believe I am who you say I am? You cry out, Son of David, promised Messiah. You cry out for mercy. Do you believe I'm the one who has come, the promised one, who would bring healing and open the eyes of the blind? Do you really believe I am able to heal you? And then, of course, we know Jesus heals him. Heals the two men. In other words, the question was not about who they called him and what they asked him for, mercy, but whether or not they understood what it meant, and the disciples understand, what it meant to rely on him as they follow for that mercy. To call out to him in reliance. That's what faith is. It wasn't just about knowing about him, but growing to rely on him to save them all the way and lead them. And the same is true for us today. And Jesus does this, yes, to heal these men and so that they will follow, the two blind men, but also to teach the disciples that are following him about what walking by faith and not sight is all about. Growing to follow Jesus as he leads us each step of the way so that we grow in spiritual vision and sight. And Jesus has already been doing this, we know, in the miracles, teaching us about faith. But this one has great significance, as I mentioned already, because it's the last one, this set, before he talks about mission, before he calls the disciples. before he prays for the workers. And it's contrasted clearly with the blindness of the Pharisees. Doriani said, "We soon see their faith is small, these blind men, and imperfect. Yet at least here they have the seeds of full faith. They don't simply just ask for Jesus' help. They believe in him." No, Jesus calls the blind men here to reaffirm their faith. So the disciples then, so we will see it, we'll see the need to continually reaffirm our faith in the gospel of grace that's in faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in him. See, though blind physically, they're starting to see spiritually. Before Jesus even heals their physical sight, they believe Jesus is merciful. That's reaffirmed because of what Jesus does here. He's compassionate. He's willing to save. They believe Jesus is all-powerful. He's able to save. They believe Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of David. Not just a healer, but the promised one. They believe Jesus is the promised Messiah who would bring sight to the blind. You see, the point is, I think, that for us to grow in faith and walk as a disciple and see spiritually by faith, we have to understand this. We have to see this well. This is what enables us to grow and walk through the darkness of this world, seeing God more clearly, seeing ourselves, and seeing those around us. Otherwise, we will grope through the darkness. We'll be like the Pharisees, walking in darkness, though we can see with physical eyes. And see, this, knowing this, and reaffirming it, looking to Jesus, is how our eyes are opened up more and more when it comes to experiencing God's mercies. Expressing God's mercies. It's what these blind men see by faith, that Jesus is gracious. This is who he always is. He shows mercy to the desperate. Mercy to the sick. That's his heart. His character never changes. Jesus is God himself, and he saves us by grace in his power as we trust in him and we continue to rely on him. And we need to remember, this is how our eyes are open more and more to see he is able to do this for anyone who will look to him. Because he does what human beings and religion can never do. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He came to save sinners. And did you notice about these men? They don't say others can save, but Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. They call on Jesus to do this. Jesus alone. Their faith is specific. It is not faith in faith or belief for belief's sake. As one man said, faith here, we know faith is not some nebulous thing. It is in someone. And notice, Jesus doesn't ask to them, "Do you believe I can ask my Father in heaven for the power to heal?" Though, yes, there's truth in that. Rather, what does Jesus say? "Do you believe that I can heal?" Jesus. See, no matter, we know this is true, don't we? No matter how sincerely we might believe we can jump off of a building and somehow we'll fly, it doesn't matter how much we believe it. We're going down, and it isn't going to be pretty unless we have some sort of a jet pack or, you know, something. But you know what I mean. Doesn't matter how much you believe it. You can flap your arms and be like a bird no matter what the songs say. You can't. As believers, we know our faith is in Jesus. We look to him alone as the object of our saving faith. And yes, God uses faith as the means to save us and change us and work in others' lives. But it is Jesus alone who saves, who changes us, who opens up our eyes. And a lot of things get muddled in our walk of faith. But seeing everything more and more, reaffirming it, and seeing it all through the lens of Jesus, that changes everything. Through his ministry, through his person, through his cross. As Acts remind us, there is no other name under heaven by which a man or a person may be saved. It's Jesus. Third thing here, Jesus touches us with his salvation where we are, to open up our eyes to follow him more and more and more. He touches us with His salvation. You see, we see this last lesson of how Jesus builds our vision spiritually in faith when Jesus responds to these two blind men as they reply, "Yes, Lord, we believe." And He does that. He responds by doing what? He's going to heal them, but He does something powerful in showing God's grace. He touches their eyes and He restores their sight. He hears their faith. First, through word, He affirms their faith, saying and clarifies that according to their faith, this will be done. As one man said, this does not mean that according to their faith, if they have a little faith, they only get 20/20 or 20/50 vision, you know, or 20/100. No, this means they'll get full vision physically. And that's a picture of what God does by grace through faith to transform our sight. Now, He does that over a process. I heard this comedian one time say, you know, well, the best optometrist sign, you know, for an eye doctor would be an eye optometrist sign that is blurred, you know, when you see it. It's blurry. And you read it, you know, and oh, man, people read it and think, well, I do need glasses, you know. That was pretty funny. But you know, Jesus doesn't work that way, does He? None of us would be happy if the correction we had with our contacts or our glasses was only part of the way and we could only see a certain amount. But that's not the way God works. No, it's if they even have a little faith, they look to Him. He fully heals spiritually. He's going to give 20/20 vision to these blind men. It's a picture of what He does in our lives by grace through faith. And can you imagine the first thing they probably laid their eyes on, they probably had never seen before. We don't know for sure, but probably they opened their eyes and the first thing they saw was Jesus. Isn't that amazing? O'Donnell, this guy, said, can you imagine what they saw? The light of the sun, the birds, the color of Jesus, blue or green, or he said probably brown eyes. We don't know. But it's a picture of grace, given in full by faith. The faith doesn't merit God's favor, but it is the way we claim it. You know, if you've got $1 million in the bank, you don't go in begging for that money, do you? You claim it by faith. Jesus confirms by His word, first of all, this happened because of their faith in Him. They're healed. And Jesus first, though, He reassured by the touch of their eyes, didn't He? And this is the way God is. What a picture of God's grace that He reassures that though they can't see Him physically, He's with them to heal them. And someone said, Jesus didn't do this all the time. In Matthew, there's only 3 times in this 9 miracles that He does it, which makes it quite touching, the guy said. But the point is, they couldn't see Jesus yet with physical eyes, and so He touches their eyes. They couldn't see the love on His face yet, and so He touched them with His kindness as He healed them. And no, Jesus didn't have to do this to heal them, for the healing to work. No, He did it out of His love. That's His character. That's His compassion. And what a picture that is of God's grace in Jesus as we follow Him. As we look to the end, we know, as 1 Peter 1 says, we've not seen Him yet face to face, but yet He has the Spirit living in us. We're like these men in a way before they could see physically, but they're walking by faith spiritually, looking to Jesus, and He touches them with His grace because that's why He came. And He touches us by His grace, doesn't He? Every time we look to Him, we're in His Word, through His people, through the gospel, through the love of Christians. He leads us as we follow Him. He lights the way. He reassures us. He doesn't always show us all of what's going to come. Many times He doesn't, but He touches us by His grace, reassuring us of the next step and how He's called us to live and that He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Jesus touches with His compassion, and that grace changes us, causes us to trust Him more, to reaffirm our faith in Him, and then reach out with that love as our eyes are open to how great He is and what His grace is for, with mercy to the lost around us, those without a shepherd that are lost like sheep. The great harvest. Jesus touched these men to heal them, to show his love, and to remind us as disciples why we're here and who's with us. We must realize his love never changes. He's the God who touches the blind to heal them with his grace. And that's what he does for you and me spiritually. And he continues to open our eyes as we look to the gospel. And we know we don't obviously reach out and touch people to heal them. Only Jesus does that. But Jesus does model for us through what he does, touching these blind men's eyes, the compassion and gentleness of Jesus Christ. All of us as his followers are called to grow to become like him in that sense. As he opens our eyes to who he is, and we see all those around us in need. I love Philippians 2 where it says, if you have any consolation from the Spirit, any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Looking out not for your own interest, but the interest of others. Second thing here, act based on the truth of God's word. And we see here in verse 30b to 31 right there, we don't base things based on our feelings. And we see we have to act on the truth of God's word. And this is the second step in application I think we see here as God increases our spiritual vision as we follow Jesus in the response of these two men now who get it, can see physically. They see Jesus now. But the question is, how are they seeing spiritually? What are the disciples and us to learn about following Jesus by faith and not sight? And the second step involves a commitment to the gospel, acting based on the truth rather than our feelings. The truth is, we have to do this, don't we? We act on the truth of God's word, not our feelings. And I remember this story from years ago where this man was on a flight and he had some experience with flying, but the pilot passed out and he had to fly the plane in. And he kept talking to the guy at the radio tower. And the guy at the radio tower kept telling him, you've got to listen to every single word I say. You can't look around at what you see as much and pay attention to the clouds and the changes. You've got to hear what I have to say, not what you feel, not what you see. And I think that's the point here. Jesus heals them and warns the two men who can see now physically, see to it that no one knows about this now. Why? Well, we can't say for sure. Some people think it's the so-called messianic secret. I won't get into all that today. Possibly it may be that Jesus wants the focus not to be on his miracles, but more on the message. I think that's the truth. I think he doesn't want a bunch of crowd stirred up in a frenzy, everyone thinking, I can come and be healed right now physically, and that's the main thing that Jesus came to do. Then the whole purpose of the miracles is lost, which is to point to him and the preaching of the kingdom and salvation by faith. He wants people to know him. He doesn't want fans, he wants followers. As I've heard said before. And for whatever the reason, the men don't listen. You notice that? And when they leave, they spread the news. They go out, you know, tell everybody in all that country. And some say, hey, that's good. They're just so excited. They can't hold back. And okay, hey, yeah, God works through it. He does call us to share the good news. I'm not saying he doesn't. But the fact was, in that moment, they got more caught up in their emotions than what Jesus actually told them to do. Jesus just opened their eyes. The first thing they probably see is Jesus. And the first thing he tells them to do, they don't do it. There's a point there. They didn't trust and obey in what Jesus told them to do. They went more by their feelings. And that the contrast is clear. It almost seems like, in a way, though, of course, we're all works in progress in this. And God has to continue to open up our eyes so we walk by faith. But it almost seems like they saw a little bit better spiritually when they couldn't see physically. Someone even said once they see physically, they seem to stop living by faith and obedience. And maybe the point is sometimes it could be better, as bad as it is, to be blind physically and obedient than to see and disobey. Of course, we don't want either one of them. But what I mean is they were blind but humble and seeking Jesus to heal them, confessing faith in him as the Son of David, pleading for His mercy, but now they've seen Jesus face to face. The first thing Jesus commands them, they decide it'd be better to do it their own way and to ignore it. Or just at least have a take or leave it attitude about it. And maybe it just reminds us, doesn't it, that the kind of sight that Jesus really wants us to have is humble and continual. It's about walking closely with Him step by step, trusting and obeying as we sing. And the fact is, it's easy, isn't it, as Christians for us to lose sight of this, to get out on our own, to stop leaning on Jesus for His mercy and obedience moment by moment, to stop looking to Him for guidance specifically. And many times, you know, we realize it's true. What God calls us to do doesn't always make sense at first, does it? You can think of a lot of examples in the Bible. We can think of examples in our own lives. Difficult commands to obey when we've got to forgive, when we've got to reconcile, when we've got to reach out to enemies, just to name a few. Or it might be specific times we're in. We're waiting on God and it's hard to wait and we feel unsettled. But often the only way we see and follow is step by step in faith and obedience to the little things that are actually big things because Jesus is leading us. And He has to light the way ahead through faith and obedience. The lesson is clear. One man said, if we say Jesus is Lord, we've got to act like we believe that Jesus is Lord. And even when our emotions might tell us otherwise. See, what mattered more even than their emotions and was what Jesus' word was. What He had done and what He told them to do mattered more than anything. And there are times we know where God's word doesn't make sense, but we know His love, we know His heart, we know His grace. And living for Him, following in the way, involves being obedient. It involves loyalty. It involves living for Him as He leads us step by step. It's often going the road less traveled. To be a disciple means it's not always easy, right? But it's not always the most direct route when you think about following Him as a disciple. But it's the best route. And thankfully, Jesus is merciful and He continues to lead us and open our eyes. And we see the last point here briefly in verses 32 and 35, and that is anchor yourself in the truths of God's grace. As you follow Him, we see it here. We've got to anchor ourselves. As they went out, verse 32, behold, they brought to him a man, a mute and demon-possessed man. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. And then, 35, Jesus went on out to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And what we see here is that the Lord is patient, isn't He, in leading us. He takes His time. He will take this time to open up our eyes. And perhaps what these men have said lead to these people bringing this mute man, a demon possessed, to the people. But the point here is not so much about the deliverance of the demon possessed man. We've actually seen this before. No, the point is more about the Pharisees' response right after it and how they don't see. Jesus delivers this man, and just as the men saw, this once mute man speaks. And what happens? The crowds marvel. See, we haven't seen anything like this, at least in their neck of the woods, you know. And it was amazing, but they magnify the miracle of Jesus. It's not enough because they're not looking to Jesus by faith, but at least they magnify it. But what's interesting is the religious minimize it. They even attack it and say it's coming from Satan. They claim Jesus is doing things that are clearly fulfilled by the Old Testament. And doing it out of the love of God. And God is healing people through Jesus. Jesus is healing people of major things. These are not toothaches. These are not flus. This is fulfilling prophecy done out of love and healing people of the worst things. And they say it's by the power of the devil. They cannot see how God is at work in Jesus to bring the kingdom of God's love. And He's there. and their eyes remain closed to what Jesus is doing. But you know, I think the amazing thing, we talk about anchoring ourselves as we follow Him. What Jesus does here. The crowds marvel, Pharisees mock Him, say He's doing it from the devil, and Jesus continues to minister. He's focused on the mission. He goes out in all the cities. Jesus does it. Sometimes we have to go it alone, even, don't we? He goes out preaching. He goes out leading and leads the disciples doing this, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, verse 35, and healing every sickness and every disease. Not everybody is going to listen, and some are going to hate it. And sometimes we have to, and Jesus is a model here, anchor ourselves in the gospel, and we even go it alone. And we have to have blinders on sometimes to see clearly. You've ever been like that before, I'm sure, as you follow the Lord. It's not easy, but we remember that. We look to the Lord as we close. We remember that we need to anchor ourselves in His grace and His truth as we follow. Let's look to Him as we close in prayer this afternoon. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your grace in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the truths You teach us, Lord, even in these miracles, Lord, that seem to be a lot of them all together, Lord, and we've heard them before. But Lord, when we think about them in the context of discipleship and faith and following You, Lord, and growing in mercy and resting in the power of Your grace, Lord God, that we might live, Lord, for You and our eyes would be open spiritually, we thank You for what You're teaching us. And we just pray You'll help us to keep our eyes on You and, Lord, to follow You, Lord, in the way of discipleship. We walk through this dark road, Lord, and we're reminded what Jesus said, that there's a narrow way that we follow in, not the broad path of destruction, but the one of looking to You by faith and walking in obedience. Help us to do that step by step, Lord, as we serve You. And help us to reach out with Your love, Lord, and point people to You, Lord, the only one that can set them free. And we give You all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.